And the sermon is titled, Why I Need Thomas's Doubts. You see, religions come and go. That's the history of the human race. Messiahs come and messiahs go. And religions and messiahs, well, they need to be questioned. They need to face questions. Why is this? Well, if you follow the wrong messiah, there's no telling what could happen. The book of Acts, it was Gamaliel who named a couple of things gone wrong, talking about Thutis, who claimed to be somebody, and Judas the Galilean. After that time, there was the Bar Kokhba revolt. And Jesus said, false Christs will come saying, I am he, and will lead many astray. And without the questioning, well, there have been cults in our days that have led people into suicide pacts. One of them, quite memorably, did so in order, as they said, to catch a ride on the Hale-Bopp comet and make their way to the mothership. So you see, when we throw away the duty to question, we leave ourselves open to anything that comes along and sounds persuasive. And then on the other hand, Jesus did invite questions. Let me give you just a couple of examples. There was the incident in the synagogue where he was about to heal a man with a crippled hand. And he invited the religious leaders there that day to get into the discussion. The question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And as he put out that question, he looked around and none of them would get involved in discussing this. And he looked around with some anger and then healed the man's hand. Why would they not discuss? John chapter 3, he engages Nicodemus in a discussion. Nicodemus comes with questions, and all of a sudden he is in a discussion of what does it mean to be born again? How does the soul of man get renewed? He challenged the disciples, and after they figured out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, what exactly does that mean? And he spelled it out, and Peter balked at this. He did not want to see Jesus go to suffer and die. And then on Easter afternoon, listening to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, he comes up and he asks them, what are you talking about? And he's there in the middle, and they're on either side, and they're telling him about this Jesus who they hoped was the Christ, but he disappointed them. He got crucified, and all of their hopes are dashed. And he listens to them before explaining. Listens to their doubts, listens to their disappointments. So along comes Thomas, who is placed in that spot by God because somebody needed to be in that spot for the whole rest of the generations to come. Bring your questions. Bring your questions to Easter. That's where I need for Thomas to voice doubts, because wrapped around those doubts are the questions. The questions. Is there forgiveness? Is there hope when everything has gone wrong? Where is the love of God? Is there anything beyond this life of sadness and suffering? Is there anything about me and my life and my soul that has eternal value? Oh, by the way, Thomas is the one who, this happened when Jesus was going to head to Bethany after Lazarus had died. No matter that the authorities wanted to arrest and kill him, he was still going. And Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." That's Thomas, very loyal. One of the most interesting things about the resurrection, and I teach this confirmation class after confirmation class, is how on Easter the disciples refused to believe. One after another, refusing to believe that Jesus had risen, no matter who all they heard it from, until they came face to face with Jesus himself, there in the flesh, holding out his hands and saying, "Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I have." So there was the women. On the way to the tomb, getting there, finding it open, and there's an angel, and they heard from the angel, and as Mark reports it, they fled from the tomb afraid. Mary Magdalene looked inside the tomb, saw the grave cloths, saw the two angels, talked with them, and then stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, suddenly there was Jesus. And in that confrontation, she knew. There'd been Peter and John who ran to the tomb and saw the cloths lying there and went away wondering. The two on the road to Emmaus who recognized him in the breaking of the bread, which, by the way, in the breaking of the bread includes also the giving of thanks, looking up to heaven and speaking a prayer. And Jesus did pray very distinctly. And so their eyes were opened at the beginning of the meal. The 10 in the upper room who had heard, and they had heard again, and they had heard again, and the two on the way to Emmaus had gotten back, and they told them again. And they could hardly believe it. And then there was Jesus standing there in front of them, inviting them to reach out and touch him, and they still couldn't believe. Luke says they could not believe for joy. And Jesus asked, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in front of them, showing that he was truly alive, was not a ghost. And then there's Thomas, who holds back, who has apparently deep and crushing disappointment, who stands in that place for anybody in all the generations to come who has doubts. I like to call him God's quality control man. And we don't have any record of Thomas actually putting his finger in the marks of the nail or his hand in the side. Simply a record of him saying, "My Lord and my God." You see, in comparison with any other religion, with all other religions, we begin with the resurrection of Jesus. That is where we find truth. That is where we find peace for the soul. Outside a tomb in Palestine, where soldiers shook in terror and women wept because they could not find the corpse of Jesus. And in an upper room in Jerusalem where the disciples were behind locked doors hiding in fear. And that's where we begin. And the message is this. From the cross, it is finished. Through the angels on Easter morning, he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. This week in the words, peace be with you. And he showed them his hands and his side. And we will hear it again and again and again. Sunday after Sunday, in the words, this is my body given for you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Generation after generation comes. Those outside the church find very often and very greatly to their surprise that the answers of all the questions they have been asking in life is found there in the risen Jesus. Those inside the church, those growing up in a Christian family, are not expected to believe just because of where they were born. But you see, we have the advantage of having heard the history of God's acts of salvation, and we have a starting point. And it is the pattern. Jesus reminds us how you know these things. You have heard them. And then he invites us to come with our questions, our huh, and our how, and our what? Come with our questions and find our answers in him, because he is the one who is equal to the questions. He is up to the questioning. And that's how Jesus went through his ministry and invited so many in his day to seek, to ask, to find their answers in him. And I ask, is there any other God worshipped by humanity who comes to walk among, to sit with his people, and to talk back and forth, inviting the questions, facing the questioning? And so, Thomas, bring your questions, bring your doubts, and even bring your skepticism. Bring them to Easter morning, because waiting for you there is a risen Lord Jesus, equal to all of the doubts, up to all of the questions, and in every encounter with him, there is eternal life waiting to be had. Is there forgiveness? You find that forgiveness in the mark of the nail. Is there hope when everything has gone wrong? You find that in the risen Jesus, there in front of you and encountering you. Where is the love of God? You find that in why it is that Jesus went to the cross. Is there anything beyond this life of sadness and suffering? Because he lives. Because Jesus lives. He will open up eternity for you. Is there anything about my life and my soul that has eternal value? This risen Jesus calls you his friend. That's who he is. That's the risen Lord Jesus we know, who still invites, who still calls. In Jesus' name, amen.